We're continuing the series on the topic of simcha, joy, happiness. This is the 23rd shiur in this series, and we're making sort of a new beginning because we've completed already going through the book Rabbi Nachman's Wisdom, Sichei Soran, and also the entire Likutei Moran, both halves, and now we're entering into the Likutei Halachos, which is Rabbi Nosson Zal's magnum opus, where he uses all of Rabbi Nachman's teachings as an overlay on the Shulchan Aruch and on Yiddishkeit pretty much. He uses the insights that Rabbi Nachman presents in all of his Sforim to clarify every topic in Yiddishkeit, as we'll see. This particular shir is based on Hilchas Tzitzis in Likutei Halachos Or HaChaim, Hilchas Tzitzis, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Yud Beis. There's a term that we've used periodically, and it's extremely important to know, to understand this term and how it's going to relate to our discussion. And it's the term medame. This is a word that's used in Sifrei Chassidus, in Sifrei Musar, in Sifrei Kabbalah. The term medame, and you need probably about 20, 30 words in the English language to do justice, to define it, but let's just use a few of the words so far. Medame can be illusions, different illusions that a person has, imagination, lusts and desires of the heart, taivos. Medame is also the source of free choice, and the medame is also a messenger of the intellect. When we talk about the brain of a person, or we talk about the neshama, the soul, the higher, the upper part of the spirituality of a person, there has to be a part of the neshama that connects to the body or to the materialistic world. The lowest part of the neshama or the brain that connects to the body or to physicalness or to materialism is called the medame. These are different terms that are used, and this topic of medame is discussed in several chapters in Likutei Moran. In the first half of Likutei Moran, chapter 25, is a major discussion. Also chapter 54, and several other places where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this medame and how we relate to it. Where medame is most active, we'll give a few examples where the medame is most active. One example is when a person drinks wine or alcoholic beverages. We know that a human being, when we describe the different levels in creation, the lowest level, doimim, inanimate objects. The next level, tsomeach, plants. The third level, chai, the animal kingdom. And the fourth level, medaber, man, human beings. The fact that we differentiate between animals and humans, the difference between them, both can have two legs, two hands. The bodies have many similar parts, eyes, a nose, ears, a mouth. If you make the list of the things that are uniform, that are the same between animals and human beings, it's a pretty long list. But where hopefully we split off is when it comes to the brain, whereby even though animals have different levels of intelligence, a person who studies animals knows that there's all kinds of incredible things that they're capable of. Their power, their senses, the five senses of the brain, the ability to smell. There are many animals that can outsmell a human being anytime. And the ability to see things in a distance, all kinds of different powers that they have, to hear things, to be more sensitive to sound, you know, etc. And yet, a human being, if he's a proper human being, has an infinitely higher level intellect, intelligence, than an animal. The level of seichel and das of a human being is incredibly higher and greater, has much greater ability than an animal who is very limited in its intelligence compared to a human being. So that the Sforim tell us When we speak about the seichel of an animal, the intelligence of an animal, we refer to that as behemius, or we refer to that as medame. An animal has medame also. An animal can make, medame also means to compare things, to see similarities between things, and based on their similarity, be able to make judgments. For example, if an animal sees a body of water, a river, and then it sees another body of water, it'll know to make the association between the two. It'll know to drink from it or not to drink from it. It'll know whether it can cross it safely or not cross it. All kinds of associations that they can make between different things that appear similar. This is all within the framework of medame, the ability to analyze on a certain low level, on a physical level, on a materialistic level. When a human being drinks alcoholic beverages, the Torah tells us in many places that it can work either way. It can work one of two ways. Zocha, if the person is fortunate, if the person has done it properly at the right time, the right place, and the right amount, mesamchoi, it'll increase the person's happiness. It'll give the person genuine joy and happiness. This happiness will manifest itself in harchovas hadas, expansion of the mind. The person can think bigger. A person can think bigger and better. They can really raise the level of their thinking by drinking wine or alcoholic beverages. The right time, the right place, and the right amount. A small quantity. We know Rabbeinu Zal was extremely strong on this point in teaching his students, Breslovers, we do not drink in the term of what the world describes, defines as drinking. There are people who say that Jews are known for drinking, especially Middle Eastern Jews, let's say, who are more spicy, they're more into drinking. Arak, vodka, the Russians with their vodka, the Syrians with their arak and other drinks, each one with their specialty, the Europeans with their variety of drinks. And again, you have all the different religious groups or the different social groups where this is one of the specialties, the drinking and what kind of drinking and when and how, etc., etc. Jews also, we know especially Hasidim, unfortunately, there are different Hasidic groups that are known for their drinking more so than non-Hasidim, more so than Litvish people or Misnagdish people or etc., etc. There are Hasidim where Hasidim are known for their warmth, for their excitement, etc. And there are people who associate that with some drinking. The drinking is what warms you up and what livens you up and what gives you more spirit, etc. Rabbeinu Zal took a very stiff position in this and warned his students, no drinking at all, with the exception of Shabbos, Yontif, a Simcha, minimal, very minimal. One exception is Purim, for example, where the halacha says a Jew is supposed to drink to get drunk. And even there, there are many opinions, many different opinions in to what degree a person should take that. We know that generally the followers of Rabbi Nachman, the close followers of Rabbi Nachman, were proved that even when they drank to excess on Purim and they were drunk, the only things that came out of their mouth were words of holiness, words of excitement about Hashem, Yiddishkeit, that people saw the true beauty of the person. More so, what was revealed when the cover was taken off, they saw extreme beauty of character, of love for Hashem, of love for their fellow Jews, of love for Torah, etc., etc. Whereas for people who are not sure that that's what would happen to them if they get drunk, if they lose control, for those people, they were even leading Breslov authorities that suggested that the person not get drunk. If a person thinks that they might say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or chas v'shalom miss out on tefillah or something like that, for such a person, they should err a little bit. They should drink a little bit more than what they usually do, but not excessive, which chas v'shalom could lead to major destruction to the person themselves or to the people around them. And yet, we know that, for example, when we talk about holiness, just about every occasion of holiness, every time and place that's holy in Judaism is associated with wine, drinking. Shabbos, we initiate, we introduce Shabbos with wine, and we close Shabbos, we say goodbye to the Shabbos with wine. And the Gemara praises, even though there are alternatives, Rabbi Akiva and the Gemara gives tremendous praise that a Jew who is zeiche to make Kiddush and Havdalah on wine or grape juice, that person has tremendous, tremendous blessings from Hashem. We know when a marriage is initiated, one of the greatest events in Judaism in life, two people are zeiche to get married, wine. A bris milah, a circumcision, wine. You look at just about every single important occasion. Places. Eretz Yisrael, one of the things it's known for is Geffen. One of the seven Shivaminim is Geffen. The Beis Hamikdash, wine. The Gemara says in Brachas, Ein Shira Elo Alayayin, that the song, the Levim, who accompanied the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash, they would not sing. When would they sing? When the libations of wine, when the nesochim of wine were being poured, that's when the Levim sang their shira. And the Gemara, in fact, brings a pasuk from Shoftim, where the pasuk there gives a mashal, a parable, where all the different trees approached the grapevine and said that they wanted to designate the grapevine as king of the trees. And the grapevine responded, this is in Shoftim, Kapitel Tes, chapter 9, Vatoimer lohem hagefen, the grapevine responded to the other trees, Hechdalti estiroishi hamesameach lekim, Hechodalti estiroishi hamesameach lekim vanoshim, you're going to appoint me as king, I'm going to lose my job, I'm not going to be able to do my regular standard work, which is producing wine. Am I interested in holding back from my tirosh, from my wine, which gives joy to Hashem and to mankind? So the Gemara says, I know it makes people happy, but how does wine make Hashem happy? The Gemara says, from here we learn out that the joy in the Beis Hamikdash, the song and the music of the Levim, was connected to the wine. When the wine was being poured, that's the occasion to be singing and dancing, all the music, all the happiness. So we see that wine, on one hand, represents simcha, joy, happiness, which is one of the highest levels of spirituality and holiness. We've mentioned this many times, that when we talk about the different levels of holiness, the top, the uppermost level is called the keser, the crown. And a crown is worn on the head, al harosh. When the Torah speaks about simcha, happiness, it says, v'simchas oilam al roisham, eternal joy upon their heads, showing that joy is such a high level of holiness, it's associated with the crown. And we see that this simcha is associated with wine. On the other hand, we know that when a person drinks wine improperly, what are the results? Number one, drunkenness. And we just mentioned when a person is drinking wine properly, they're thinking more clearly, they're thinking bigger and better. And we know when a person is thinking bigger and better, the words that come out of their mouth are bigger and better. The pasuk says, Mipiv das usvuna. We know that we can't use an MRI or an X-ray machine to know what's going on in a human being's brain. To know what a person is thinking when the person speaks, if there is the proper connection between the mouth and the brain, when the person talks, you hear what's going on in their brain. So when a person drinks wine properly, bikdusha, then the words that come out of their mouth are a much higher level, spiritually and intellectually, than without the wine. And this is why we introduce the Shabbos. Shabbos, a person is given a neshama yesera, an additional soul, which means a tremendous elevation of the intellect, of the brain power. We initiate that with a cup of wine, with Kiddush. That's the vessel, that's the starter, that's the starter fluid, the lighter fluid that kicks off this harchovas hadas, this expansion of the mind. So the person can sit at their Shabbos table with their children and sing, Ein Shir El Alayayin. They can sing all the zmiras, they can sing like they could never ever sing on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night. The singing that a Jew, that a genuinely religious Jew does at their Shabbos table is something totally different from any song or music that takes place on a non-holy occasion, not a Shabbos. Shabbos, Yontif, a wedding, all of these occasions. On the other hand, when a person drinks improperly, a drunk person, what comes out of their mouth is foolishness, confusion, or worse, profanity, insults, disgusting stuff, all kinds of the exact opposite. We know that wine, also one of the results of getting drunk is falling asleep, falling into a deep slumber. Sleep is an example of medame. When a person sleeps, the Gemara says, some people when they sleep attain tremendous high levels of spirituality. The Arizal would sleep on Shabbos, and he told his students that in his nap on Shabbos, he attained a level of learning. In one of the Shabbos naps, he learned secrets about Bolok and Bilam that would take him 80 years to explain to his students. That's the level of learning, that's the level of expansiveness of the mind that a tzaddik is able to experience in sleep. On the other hand, that's the concept of chaloim al yedei malach. The Gemara says that there are people who the dreams, the visions that they see in their sleep come from a holy angel. Then the Gemara says, but there are other people, the majority of the world, their dreams are confusion, befuddlement, all kinds of nonsense, gibberish, ridiculous things, absurdities that people see in the fantasies that they see in their dreams, which is referred to as chaloim al yedei shed, the dream coming from the other side, from a negative side. Whereas when it comes to the great tzaddikim, when Hashem describes his connection to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, b'chaloim adaber boy, I speak to him in a dream, so that this item of sleep, which is also something that can go either way, we're showing, the sleep is like wine. Sleep can be an incredible spiritual experience. There are tzaddikim that had tremendous revelations in their sleep. Their neshamas, their souls went up to heaven and studied Torah, etc. Or even an ordinary Jew goes to sleep exhausted, can't learn another line of Torah, can't do another mitzvah, and wakes up a brand new human, ready to roll, new and improved, and able to make a whole new beginning, able to start cranking out pages and pages of Torah and mitzvahs and all kinds of good deeds. What's the thing that defines, that decides, that determines which way this goes? Whether it goes positive or negative? The answer is Tikkun HaBris. To the degree that a person accepts upon themselves the standards that Hashem sets forth in the Torah for purity, a pure and proper relationship between men and women, according to the definitions of the Torah, that's what decides whether the wine that they're drinking is a wine of blessing, a wine of joy and happiness, or it's the wine of drunkards, which is befuddlement, it's confusion, it's profanity, it's vomiting, throwing up. We know one of the results when a person usually drinks to excess, they end up throwing up and dirtying themselves and people around them in many cases. That's one of the most ugly, disgusting things that a person can see. And Rav Nosson Zal tells us, based on Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, we know that there's a concept of vomiting in Kiddusha. The great tzaddikim have such a power that when they do a mitzvah, when they drink wine, when a person drinks wine with holiness, with wine is red. Wine is red generally. The basic color of wine, the standard color of wine is red. The Pasuk says in the Torah, Al tera yayin ki yisadam. So that wine represents midas hadin, gvura, which is associated with the other side, the left side, the sitrachra. When a person drinks wine according to the Torah, Shabbos, Yontav, the right amount, or a tzaddik drinks wine, there's also a vomiting that takes place. What happens is it causes the yetzer hara, the evil inclination, the sitrachra, the satan, to vomit up, to regurgitate, and give back all the mitzvahs and all the prayers and all the good deeds that the satan is able to swallow. We know throughout the Torah, we're told that if a person does something, a person does a mitzvah sometimes, but the mitzvah has many things wrong with it, or certain specific things wrong with it, instead of going to Hashem, instead of going to the positive side, sometimes the negative side, the satan, the sitrachra, grabs that mitzvah and swallows it and is able to draw strength and energy from it. There is this concept of the other side drawing from us, drawing from the side of Kedusha when it's not properly protected, when things are done improperly, etc., etc. And there are many examples. There are examples where the Gemara says if a person does this, all of their mitzvahs, they forfeit all of their mitzvahs. What do I mean forfeit? Where does it go? It goes, chas v'shalom, to the other side. So this other side swallows up many mitzvahs, and in many cases actually swallows up souls. You have Jews who die young, who die before they finish, before they complete what they could have completed in this world. And in those cases also, an incomplete soul, an incomplete mitzvah, many times, can be swallowed up by the other side. How do we get that back? Rabbi Nezal says this is one of the benefits. When a tzaddik dabbles in red, in wine, in din, and he does it bikdusha with the proper holiness, it's done the proper way, this can bring about, whereas by the drunk, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya chapter 19, kehasois shikor bikioi, like a drunk who's living, who's sitting in his vomit. Lahavdil, the opposite side of the coin, within the Kedusha, there's a famous Pasuk, chel bola vayikienu, that the Yetzahara, the evil, the side of evil, the Sitrachra, swallows up armies of holiness, souls, prayers, mitzvahs, vayikiena, and he's forced to vomit it up, to regurgitate, to give it back. And this is one of the things that's accomplished when people drink wine bikdusha, where the wine is yayin hamesameach. It's a wine of joy and happiness, not a wine that leads to the opposite result. Just for a moment, on this same track, we've mentioned many times, and Rashi mentions this in Chumash, that you have the two most basic names of Hashem that are used throughout the Torah. Hashem's name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which reflects kindness. Hashem's name Elohim, which represents judgment, harshness. The word Elohim is used in the Chumash to refer to a judge in Parshas Mishpatim, going before a judge, Ad ho Elohim yovo idvar shneim. When we speak about wine, we're told that the word Yayin, Yud, Yud, Nun, has a numerical value of 70. Together with the vowels underneath, the Tikkun Ezer tells us that the vowels also have a numerical value. There's dots and dashes. A dot is a yud, a dot is 10, a dash is a vav, is 6. So that yayin is 70, plus the dash under the first yud, the dot under the second yud, it's 70 plus 6 plus 10, it's 86, which is bigematria Elohim. Elohim is judgment, din, midas hadin. And the din, we know when it comes to din, it can go either way. It can be used in a holy way. Judges, a court, can resolve problems. And a court can also mete out punishment, death penalties, all kinds of different levels of severity of penalty and punishment and destruction. So that Yayin is associated with Elokim, with Midas Hadin, judgment. On the other hand, we're told that the names of Hashem within Yud Kei Vav Kei, for those who can follow this, within Yud Kei Vav Kei, we're told that there are different formats. There are different numerical values when you fill out the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, when you spell each letter like a word. The letter Yud being spelled the way it's pronounced, Yud Vav Dalid. Hey is spelled, can be spelled Hey Yud, Hey Hey, or Hey Aleph. There are different configurations. And the Zohar HaKadosh Nei Arizal explain the four basic configurations of Yud Kei Vav Kei. One of them is Yud Vav Dalid, Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav, Hey Yud, which gives us a numerical value of 72. The second configuration is almost the same, almost identical. There's one change, that the Vav, instead of being spelled Vav Yud Vav, it's spelled Vav Aleph Vav. So therefore, instead of a Yud as an Aleph, we subtracted 9. Instead of 72, it's 63. These two names of Yud, these two combinations of Yud Kei Vav Kei, are associated with the brain. We're told that the first two letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Yud and the Kei, relate to the Moichen, to the Seichel of a person. And in those two combinations, the letter Yud, which represents Machshava Chachma, appears 7 times. There are 7 Yuds in those first two combinations of Yud Kei Vav Kei. 7 times Yud, 7 times 10 is Yayin, the word Yayin. So we're told that Yayin can be Elokim, it can be judgment, din, it can lead to fights, brawls that break out in a bar or people who drink to excess, or Yayin can be Moichen, Harchova Sadas. These two, the 7 Yuds of these two names of Hashem, which represent the highest level of Seichel. We know that when we introduce the Shabbos, we say that special chapter in Tehillim, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, let us sing the song of Shabbos, Toiv Lohoides Lashem, it's wonderful to praise Hashem, Ula Saper L'Shimcha Elyon, to speak about Hashem's kindness, and then we say, Alei Osor V'Alei Novel, to play on musical instruments, Ki Simachtani Hashem B'Folecho, because Hashem has given me joy. I've seen the joy and happiness in all of Hashem's creation. This chapter in Tehillim is what speaks about initiating the Shabbos, and it's about this Simcha, it's about the joy, and the 10 levels of song, the 10 types of song, representing this Yayin Bigdusha. And this is what Rav Nosson Zal points out here, that all of us struggle in this world. The fact that man, the term Adam, man, means that we come from the Adama, from earth. Man being created from earth, earth is the ground, earth is cold, earth by nature is cold, and represents depression, sadness, unhappiness. And this is why, unfortunately, it can come natural for human beings to be down, to be drawn down to unhappiness, sadness. And this is one of the etzos that the Torah gives us in terms of happiness, that if a person wants to be able to get out of that depression and sadness and wants to experience joy and happiness, to the degree that a person tries to uphold the Tikkun HaBris, the purity in all the relationships and association between men and women, which involves thought, speech, and action, being careful to think only kosher thoughts and holy thoughts, not to think any unkosher or impure type of thoughts. In speech, the Torah speaks about al tarbe sichoim hoisha, limit when it comes to speaking to women, caution, watch what you say, limit yourself, because excessive talking to women can lead to all kinds of mistakes. And then mice, obviously, in action, to the degree that a person is zeicha to be strong in these areas, this will help a person that they're drinking wine, their sleep, everything that relates to medama will all be on the side of kedusha, on the side of holiness, and it'll lead to happiness. It'll lead to genuine happiness instead of the opposite, chas v'shalom. Shem should help that we should be zeicher. This takes place, we have this at least once a week. We have the Shabbos, the occasion of Shabbos, where Rabbeinu Zal taught us that even those Jews who are smart and they avoid all wine and alcoholic beverages completely, totally, during the 6 days of the week, we have the Shabbos to look forward to. The Gemara tells us, Zochor Esyem HaShabbos, even though I'm not going to take a drink on Sunday, but even just thinking about it, that I'm looking forward to Shabbos, I know that there is this gift, there is this wonderful day when I put on better clothes, I make all kinds of changes to elevate myself, to expand my mind, to be zeicher to experience a real joy and happiness. I can borrow from that on Sunday, Monday, throughout the 6 days of the week, just thinking, looking forward to Shabbos, or remembering the Shabbos that just passed, that alone can elevate me. Besides the fact that we have the holidays sometimes during the week, we have Yontif, we have a wedding, we have a special, anytime there's a special occasion. And again, not to say that a person can't be happy without wine. We're mentioning that this is one of the tools, this is one of the ways that a Jew who is zeicher to live properly by the standards of the Torah and Chassidut will be zeicher to a simcha of Kedusha, which leads to all kinds of positive things. The pasuk says, "Ki besimcha seitzeyun uveshalom tuvolon," that with joy you can leave, you can get out of any kind of problem or suffering or darkness. And again, this kind of simcha, we know when people drink the wrong way, what does it usually lead to? A brawl, a fight. The drinking wine, the simcha of kedusha, ki besimcha seitzeyun uveshalom tuvolon, it brings people closer together. We see a truly religious Jew drink a little bit of wine or liquor, whatever it is on Shabbos, and it brings out, it amplifies the feelings of love that they have for their wife, for their children, for the family, for the guests at the table, for Hashem. It amplifies the simcha and the shalom. We should be zeichet to the ultimate simcha and shalom with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, Memher of Yameinu, Amen v'Amen.